Hey everybody, and welcome to your Friday, August 1st Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that has yet to contract Ebola. Joining me this week are Mike Lemieux and Robin Van Gilder.
Yo.
Hello.
Greg actually has Ebola, so he's been out.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's actually patient zero. It's really weird that he's traveling around the world right now.
Probably very ill-advised. Maybe sort of illegal, but, you know, you can't stop him. Whatever he wants to do, he'll do.
It should do wonders for the downloads of our back episodes.
Yeah.
He's going to be famous.
Oh,
but in fairness, like, Ebola and reading Bleach, is there really that big a difference?
Not really.
One kills 90% of people infected. The other is a deadly strain of virus that is easily spread.
At least Ebola ends it quick.
Yeah.
So any house cleaning this week?
No. Thankfully, there's been pretty light on house cleaning since Greg's been gone, since that's his job, kind of.
Has it actually been light, or have you just not noticed?
Maybe
both are possible.
Yeah.
there's a one shot this week called Devilly Man, and Hunter is absent, which that's always a bad sign.
I mean, yeah, I think it said he was
gonna take
a break after the last one. So who knows when we'll get it back again?
I picture
him like being one of those marathon people that like sprints right from the beginning and like had to slow down like a mile in. Like, nope. Should not have done that.
As everyone else just like coasts by him while he's just grabbing his chest, going like, oh, lungs feel bad.
Just taking every bottle of water he can.
I mean, that's basically exactly what happened, because he started before One Piece even, I think, with Hunter Hunter. So, yeah.
Is the anime for that new, or is it just now, like, did it just come back? Because I see people talking about it now when I previously had never seen anyone talk about the anime.
The thing is, there are two animes. There was one back in, like, 1999, and then the new one started in 2011, and the new one is caught up again, so...
I thought you meant concurrent animes, which was going to be really weird.
Oh, no.
It should do that. It'd be like Persona 4 and Persona 4 The Golden.
Yeah, right.
Except that's not concurrent, it's a sequel series, but still.
Yeah, that's kind of funny how that turned out.
Like, in that, hey, we want more money from this sort of way?
Well, no, I mean that it's New Game Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Series.
I mean, that's they had to change it somehow just to get more money.
They're just going to do the Haruhi thing and just do that same series 8 times. Slightly different.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it would be accurate to what Atlas is doing with it. Oh.
Nice. So next week is a double issue, and we're getting 2 one-shots in that one, and that's about it.
Great.
I don't know. We can talk more about that Naruto movie right now. That's house cleaning.
We've seen a small trailer.
There's a small trailer,
which is just like a little animation of him like standing up
and pencil drawings.
Oh yeah, and pencil drawings of like all his different outfits throughout.
And yet this movie is out in like 3 months?
It's out in December.
Okay, so like 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, like half a year almost. You know, same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, still, and didn't you say something like it's going to be part of a series, supposedly?
I looked up a translation, and I don't have the article in front of me, but it was something like, it's called like the New Generation series or something like that. It sounds like it's going to be the first entry. I don't think it's the last thing, despite what the name would imply.
Literally the last Naruto movie?
It's actually Naruto the movie, the last.
Oh. I mean, we're all assuming it's an epilogue, and it might just be like a non-canon whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, but... If it is Naruto Z, that would be kind of weird to do it in a movie, but...
Maybe.
I mean, I could definitely see Kishimoto going, as long as I can end the manga on my terms, I don't care what you guys do.
Again, we're assuming ending.
Yeah, kind of a GT situation.
I'm still wondering if, like, he beats Kaguya, and then it goes like, Naruto Part 2 end, Naruto Part 3 start.
Oh, yeah. Come up with another subtitle.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, I would imagine Jump, or should we say, is... trying really hard to make Kishimoto not end Naruto.
Wait, I've got it. So, in the new one, Naruto gets turned back into a 12-year-old, and him and Trunks go into space to find the Black Star Dragon Balls.
Could you not think of, like, a Trunks analog? I would say Kiba.
I was trying to remember what Shikamaru's teacher's name is.
Asuma?
He had a son, and so that kid could grow up.
Yeah, I could see it.
Oh, yeah, he did have a
Dragon Ball GT joke.
Yeah. That never came up again after, like, Shikamaru was like, yeah, I'll take care of that kid.
Then he just went off somewhere to smoke.
Yeah. He did cool guy things.
Yeah, that's house cleaning.
Yep.
All right. We've put it out long enough.
On to Blue... Wait. Nisekoi.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Bleach is at the end this week because it was first in the magazine because it had color pages. It didn't actually do very well.
It didn't earn it.
No. No way.
It's like the Lifetime Achievement Award of manga.
It's like, yeah, I guess we'll throw you a bone.
It's the carbon inanimate rod of manga, and that everyone gets a cover at some point.
So the cover picture for Nisekoi is just Onodera and Onodera.
Yosodera.
Yeah. Having, like, doing their sister thing and, like, eating snacks outside.
They're at the festival, it seems like.
Eh.
They're eating takoyaki. What a nice, you know, subdued cover. Not terrible at all.
There's nothing about this chapter that's super terrible. It's just, there's nothing about this chapter.
Yeah, it's just, it's so boring. I was really hoping that you guys hadn't covered the one last week, because at least that one was kind of funny sometimes.
So we discover the obvious thing that Miyamoto made Onodera enter this.
Yes.
Yes.
Bribing Shu.
Miyamoto still has the best costume.
Yes.
And despite the voting being over, Onodera ties with Haru.
Well, they kind of explain that. It's like she got seeded into the second round somehow.
So here's my question. How is this working on votes now? Are there not four judges, and two of them are Raku and Chitoge, who at no point actually seem to, like, vote?
I don't know.
Maybe people call in. You know, they have the variety.
Is it, like, audience clapping? Are they, like, holding up clickers? What's the deal here?
I think at this point, like, everyone just, it's like, oh, it's the Onoderas, the popular girls. Let's just move them along to the next round. Sorry, all you other nameless girls. You're not hanging around Raku. You're not important enough.
You're saying terrible things about the ethics of Bunyori High.
What?
You can't silence us forever.
I never.
All hail the maidens.
So she's cute and everyone melts for her.
And Haru's cheering section is falling for her too. And
she does the exact same thing as her sister. Word for word.
It's like the Robin Hood thing where like the Prince of Nottingham hits like the center of the bullseye, then Robin Hood hits the middle, the same thing, just on top of his arrow. And for some reason, Robin Hood wins, despite both getting bullseyes.
He went second, therefore he wins.
So basically, Onodera, Robin Hood's your sister.
Yeah. Basically.
And they got moved on to the second round, where it's just them against each other.
But they get to pick their costume from this collection of costumes in the back.
That they for some reason have, because Bunyori apparently has like the most well-funded theater department ever.
Yeah, like
world.
So
yeah,
Haru gets led into a room with like a billion costumes. But the thing that gets me is that Onodera is not there, which means they have a separate, equally well-stocked room of costumes.
That's true. They have a ton of costumes. God,
mannequins are expensive, and they have like six of them in that room.
So Haru is questioning why she joined and how she's going to lose to her sister.
And then she decides on the key phrase, maybe Senpai will notice me.
Yes.
Which is not a cliche at all. And then
that made me laugh pretty hard when I was reading it, because it's just, yeah, that's it. That's the whole manga.
Was this written by anime fans?
Well,
I mean, yes.
It literally was, yes.
Okay.
It was translated into English by them. So,
she exits the room, and Raku, sensing he's being thought about, just happens to be there.
He's walking around the women's dressing room.
Yes, naturally.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, I want to vote for you, too, because you're cute, and your sister's also cute.
He keeps complimenting her looks, like, an uncomfortable number of times.
I thought you were going to say, like, a creepy uncle.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, he's not, like, saying her personality or she tried hard or something. He's just like, your appearance is pleasing. I want to clap for you because your appearance is pleasing.
Well, I mean, it is a beauty contest, so.
Oh, that's true.
In fairness, Haru does actually point out this is why you have that terrible reputation of, like, everyone thinking you have, like, 20 girlfriends.
Timing.
Yeah.
Be good for turn of phrase there.
Also, why is Haru trying to get him and Onodera together even though he knows he's in a fake relationship with Chitoge?
She know that Chitoge is fake?
Yeah, overheard Shu and Miyamoto talking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're clearly in a fake relationship for a reason. Stop trying to cause gang wars. So they end it in the most awkward way possible. Like, yeah, vote for her, but please cheer for me. Notice me, senpai.
And then they just, like, slowly walk away while staring at each other down the hall.
This weirdly empty hallway that for some reason Raku's in.
Yeah, they don't explain why he's back there.
He's just wandering around backstage.
Like, if judges did that, wouldn't that be, like, super creepy? Wouldn't that be, like, you know, come to the casting couch sort of thing?
So, hey, I was going to vote for your sister, but, you know, you were pretty cute out there.
Yeah. I have a thing for, like, maids? Or sweet shop workers? Whatever what you're dressed you? As.
Side ponytails, that's what I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Onodera is in her own dressing room, and Miyamoto has already picked out her outfit.
Well, there is a scene that Haru, for the first time, wonders what the prize is and reads it, and that's never expanded upon.
Wasn't it candy?
No, that was a prize, I think.
Ah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's going to be like a date with one of the judges.
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to be.
Totally.
So now she's going to try to win.
Yeah, that's what I think that was leading to, was her examining the prizes. And then, so Miyamoto gives Onodera an outfit, and it turns out it's just a sailor fuku.
Yeah.
A very plain one.
An old-fashioned one.
Black and elegant. So yes. Everyone loves it.
Yeah,
also, kind of amazes me how much design is on going, like, with the audience members.
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
That one panel where everyone looks like they're from a different manga.
Yeah, one guy looks like Son Goku.
Yeah. Well, it is supposed to be, they're all wearing costumes, so I guess that explains it.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
The cultural festival is going on.
I've forgotten entirely about the cultural festival.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just weirded out by the art styles in that panel.
That too.
They all do look pretty different, but yeah, I can see where the costumes would be confusing.
They're all like, oh, Onodera, they're swooning over her and talking about what a brilliant tactician she must have to put her in that outfit.
I love that part that everyone assumes that she couldn't make a good decision on her own, so it's like, obviously someone else did it.
Yeah, I mean, she's a girl.
I mean, clearly.
Everyone looks at Raku like, did you have her do this?
Did you walk by and go like, I like girls in Sailor Fuku, and then walk away? So then they introduce Haru.
And then we don't see what she's wearing.
Well, nobody comes out on stage, and then she comes out on stage.
Yeah.
To be continued.
Ah, the tension is just killing me.
We do get like a really creepy smile from Raku before it finishes up.
Oh, it's God, like, that's right.
It's like an awkward, like, what?
Is it? Is it like a what? Or is it like, yeah?
You just want
I'm
to
into
like,
this.
Licking his lips and going, bueno?
I mean, it could be either, really.
I bet this is like an Emperor's New Clothes kind of thing. She's like, I found the most beautiful outfit back there, woven of rainbow silk.
I was going to say it would be something Raku would be into, but I can't think of anything Raku's into.
Maybe she's dressed up as Raku.
He's... I think that would be a great strategy. Now I'm going to be really disappointed if that's not the case. Just a plain white shirt and black pants and, like, the weird X in your hair.
Yeah, is that a hair clip or what? I've never been clearer on that. His hair has a scar or something?
I don't know. It'd be easy enough to make.
And then he's just going to, like, walk over to Onodera and be like, I have complicated feelings for you, but I'm not going to tell you, and then walk away.
Let's say things in certain ways that make it clear that we're misunderstanding each other, but it's okay, because comedic situations.
Whoops, I tripped and pulled down your skirt. That's a thing that happens.
The foo tosses baseballs at her.
We just wrote the best chapter of Nisekoi ever. Haru's just fed up with Raku's shit and just...
I'm incredibly pro this idea. I feel like it needs to happen.
It would be too good.
There's nothing really to talk about. Like,
well, now I'm hoping that we take our like brilliant Shokugeki no Soma dissection and put it onto Nisekoi.
Where we somehow like beat for beat guessed every single thing.
Yep. So let's go to Shokugeki no Soma and talk about it.
So yes. Takumi lost his knife.
Yeah, literally everything we said would happen actually happened.
Yeah, pretty much exactly.
So Subaru won, and he's gloating, and Takumi's fan club is
angry,
yelling at him, and then he gets, like, kind of rapey about it?
Saying that he wished he had time to investigate them, too.
Yeah.
And they get all creeped out.
Also, they call him a Yankee gorilla, so I assume he actually is half Japanese, half American.
I thought they were using Yankee in, like, the... Yankee's not always used for
American. No, Yankee just is generically a punk.
Okay. Yeah, it's a certain type of punk, I think. Yeah. Like American style, but maybe not an American.
Yeah, as opposed to like a poncho or something.
Yeah. So then they show us who won, which we know. Subaru, yeah. Akira, Ryo, and Soma.
Right, and first I thought this was the matchups, but...
Yeah, I did too first.
They're making it that way to make it look like that's the matchups, so but... you're surprised when it's not.
Yeah, it's not. Because last chapter they were mixing them up again, so...
Yeah. So they're not going to tell anyone there that what the matchups are. They still
need to decide. You know, there's four people, two matches. This is really going to take a long time to mix these up.
Yeah, a lot of deliberation.
So they all say, we should, like, console Takumi. It's fine. And Soma just wants to go home.
Yeah, yep. He's bored.
And he marches straight up to his room while everyone's like, why aren't you consoling Takumi? And he just doesn't answer.
And then his door is unlocked for some reason.
And then it's Subaru in there.
Yes.
He has a duplicate key because he's a creeper.
Yep. I do love the horror manga faces of everyone behind Summer reacting to him.
That's pretty good.
Screaming.
Yep. So they try to get someone to kick him out. Someone's like, no, I owe him for letting us, like, hosting us in his suite.
Yeah, he's so like, it's fine.
So he started some stew.
And then he gives him some beef stew that he made.
Yeah, he started it before the show today. So it's been stewing all day.
Yeah. So they're having a nice sit down.
With everyone eavesdropping outside, listening in on the door.
Yes. Yeah.
And apparently the matches have been decided. So keep in mind, from the time where they said the matches have not been decided yet, they went home.
And Subaru already knows.
Yes.
I would also like to point out that everyone was giving Soma shit for not consoling Takumi, and then they all followed him home, not consoling Takumi.
Yelling at him for not consoling Takumi.
Yeah.
I just imagine Takumi, like, just standing out in the parking lot, like...
You guys are my ride.
Hello?
Guys?
So, basically the matches are Ryo and Akira.
Yes.
Yep. And Soma and Subaru.
When I first saw this page, I read it left to right, and I saw Ryo and Subaru in the background. I'm like, oh, so we did get it wrong, like, for the second time in reading.
Yeah, exactly. I did the same thing. And it was like, no. Yeah, I thought after the last couple chapters, maybe Subaru is going to be the final villain of this arc. But then, no, it's Dark Soma. So
Yeah. So, yeah. We know who's going to win these matches, I think.
Yeah. It's going to be Soma and Ryo.
I don't think this is the time for Hayama and Soma's rematch.
No, I don't think.
Also, it'd be kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously, I don't think Subaru's going to beat Soma, because that's dumb.
So, no, of course...
That was terrible, especially after this chapter.
Yeah.
Subaru challenges Soma to a Shokugeki. And
where he gets Soma's knife. The knife he always uses, but has been given no real special attention,
you know,
I guess.
Knife.
It's just
you know
a
that
knife.
It looks sharp. And in return, he'll give back Takumi's thing if he loses.
Yeah.
And Subaru is doing this because he knows it'll make Soma super mad. And that's how he gets under people's skins, by making them really mad.
Yeah, so they can't think straight. And then he just beats them with his good cooking.
So Soma kind of turns him down, calls him pathetic.
He's like, nah.
It's not worth it to him.
Yeah.
He says he will do it, though, if he will bet all the tools he's stolen, which I believe is something we guessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's going to return everybody's tools.
Yeah. But Subaru says that his knife versus 100 tools is not enough. He'll have to raise his end of the bargain, too.
It's not equivalent exchange.
That's how you get horrible monsters in a basement. You got to do it right.
So Soma says that he'll just quit being a cook, which, while dramatic, I don't see how that benefits Subaru at all.
Yeah, he doesn't get anything out of it.
Yeah, he's already beaten Soma. It's fine.
Well, I mean, it's just kind of a dramatic thing, and I guess it's sort of like the ultimate version of what he does, like destroying someone's will to cook. to get them to actually stop being a cook would be like the best version of that, I guess.
So Soma asks if this is okay, and Subaru very quickly starts trying to think through if Soma's got a plan or not.
And Soma just tells him, yeah, I'm making this stew.
Yep.
This is what I'm making. Oh, and we found out what the theme was, too. Where was that? Dinners. Oh, it's on this last page.
Western-style main dish.
Yeah.
Which stew fits into that perfectly.
Yeah. So it's going, like, I'm guessing this is going to be a thing where Takumi is going to figure, I'm going to do what he does better, and then add in more stuff to make it better-er, and Soma's going to be like, no, I made it better than that.
Yeah. No, I was talking to someone else earlier today, and they came up with a really good idea that was what Soma's going to do is he's going to go there and he's not going to have that stew. He's just going to make like a stone soup and have people from the audience give him stuff to put in it. Random ingredients. Just say, yeah, whatever.
I was also thinking it'd be hilarious if he just doesn't make a stew. Like, he just totally fucks over Subaru and just makes something completely different. And Subaru has all these, like, the wrong ingredients there.
So my issue with this chapter is, you know how Soma's being all, like, cold and calculating here, and he knows how to get under Subaru's skin?
Yeah.
I don't really, like, I'm not going to say this is inconsistent with Soma, but it's been so long since we've seen Soma do anything know if it's inconsistent.
Yeah.
In my mind, he's a little bit more hot-blooded and reactionary.
Yeah.
But he kind of wasn't. Like,
he's mostly like, just... I don't know. He doesn't know what's going on most of the time until he gets in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think it kind of fits with the way he is. Like, I feel like since those first few chapters, I've made him out to be sort of this incredible super genius because he's not really the main character.
It's turned ensemble. Out.
Yeah, it's an ensemble cast. So they've kind of been able to make him this more detached genius sort of character, and I think this fits in with that just fine.
Yeah, I wonder if they change it to like being more ensemble because that sells more merchandise.
Yeah, probably.
Sells more mouse pads.
Yeah.
It also makes writing it easier. Because then they can have, you know, all these different contests and not just always have him doing his thing.
Well, as if you wanted to change someone's personality at a whim, you could totally do that. Just not too dramatically.
I do feel like he's just being a dick to Subaru on purpose.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what he's doing.
they kind of make a dicked up Subaru, like, it escalated real quickly.
Yeah, he went from, like, I'm kind of weird to I am being depicted as the literal devil.
I'm literally the devil.
Which makes you wonder what they're going to use for Ryo. Like, I guess he's going to be, like, a violent fighter or something.
Yeah, that was already his thing. Remember the violence of the kitchen?
His food is violent, but, like... He himself has had no real depiction yet.
He'll be the super devil. He carries a jar of marmalade that makes you commit adultery. That is an American
dad reference. That's his ingredient for the
yeah, right.
Final match.
But yeah, that reminds me. Last week, you guys were talking about what Soma's specialty is. And the thing is, he doesn't have one. That's his whole thing, is that he always makes something different.
I thought his shop had a specialty, though, the one that he came from.
Well,
the thing, special a day.
It's a special a day shop, so he made something different every day. Remember the early chapters, he would say, oh, this is number something or other.
But there was a period of time where he was making nothing but, like, I think, omelets or something like that.
Well, maybe like a couple in a row, but, like, the whole thing with him is that he doesn't have one thing that he does. And that's why he's able to succeed, unlike everyone else who's super specialized for some reason.
Like that one guy, it's like, I cook using smoke, and only smoke. It is extremely limited, but for some reason I've decided on this.
Oh wait, you just got matched up against the one guy that can counter smoke.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I mean, that's shonen manga. That's what they do with ensemble cast, is everyone has that one thing.
Right, exactly.
Like, this is the dude that does the dog stuff. This is the guy that has bugs. This is the guy who gets his arm ripped off.
In Bleach, that's everybody.
Well, in fairness, one of them stands above the rest. There is no one who gets their arm ripped off better than Chad.
Yeah.
That's true.
He is the Goku of being Yamcha.
That's a good way of putting it.
All right. Let's wrap up with Soma. Let's move on to Naruto.
Yeah, I bet next week, like, they start cooking by the end of it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And they don't do too much like downtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be all about how Soma is totally messing with Subaru more, and he's freaking out, trying to figure out what he's doing and what his plan is. And
I bet you Subaru's going to be like incredibly confident right up until the very end, where Soma reveals his Xanatos Gambit.
Yeah, exactly. So it should be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So Obito's dead.
Yep.
Yep.
Or dying, and
now he's
really chatty for having died.
Well, right. Yeah, that's about it for this chapter. Let's move on to
Math class was good.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so after they just watch an old man commit suicide, they stand around and listen to him talk for a long time.
Yeah.
While the villain does not do anything in particular to attack them.
Well, she needs to recharge, apparently, because like apparently that was the one that was like the last one that she could do.
She like she's got like a 6-chamber in her hand, and that was like the last one.
So Zetsu advises they go to the Genesis Dimension, which has, like, Vector Man and Blast Processing. So Obito starts monologuing about, like, you know, I lived a life. I wanted to be Hokage once. And Naruto starts trying to heal him, even though he's, like, crumbling in the dust.
Right. Which, I mean, Naruto is Ninja Jesus, so it might work, but it doesn't.
This time it doesn't.
My favorite part about this monologue is when it keeps cutting to Zetsu going like, nah, you suck. You suck.
So what, like, every time I see Zetsu now, he doesn't look like a Zetsu face anymore. He just looks like Tao Kaka from Blaze Blue.
Because he's like a shadow man or something.
Yeah, he's just a face inside her sleeve now.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like whenever we need Kage to say something that's not too wordy, then we need to have Zetsu say it.
Mostly if we need Kage to say something.
She talks occasionally.
Occasionally.
Sentence this whole time. Maybe so, two.
Zetsu was just talking shit about, like, yeah, Obito is like a real piece of shit. Why do you care that much?
Which kind of has a point, to be honest.
So, while everyone is talking for a really long time, Sasuke's teleport ability, which he's always had and his signature ability,
what is he teleporting with? Like, we previously established he needed something to change with?
Air molecules.
Sand. Oh yeah, air molecules. That
So he teleports behind Kaguya and tries to raikiri her, but she just leaves.
Yeah.
Right.
She pieces out and changes the dimension again.
Yeah. Why did she bring them with her?
Yeah.
I mean, if she needs to, like, sit and regenerate for a little while, why not just leave them in the gravity dimension?
Previously I thought that she couldn't, like, she can't just transport herself somewhere. She needs to take, like, she just needs to change the world itself. But then she transported herself somewhere before.
Yeah.
Maybe those are different powers.
Maybe she can't let Naruto and Sasuke hang out and figure this whole thing out.
So Sasuke enters his Gundam and goes after her.
Yep.
Yeah.
And is like, hey, you know, I could use some help since you're not doing anything.
Okay, I'll go distract her this time and you attack her. And then Naruto just stands there and listens to Obito some more.
And Obito's
he's a good friend.
So Obito starts talking parallels, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like Obito has killed any of his friends within the last 2 hours or anything.
No, I mean, it's not like he killed Neji or anything.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that gets me about this chapter. So Obito's sitting here, like, you know, being Obito, he's giving a death speech, and Naruto's trying to heal him, and Zetsu's talking shit about Obito. And Naruto's like, don't you talk shit about Obito, Obito's awesome. Well, 2 hours ago, Obito was like, Naruto, I killed Neji, fuck Neji, he was an idiot. And Neji's like, you shut up, Neji's awesome.
Maybe Naruto just runs on instinct now. Like, he just hears someone being put down, and is like, no, you shut up, Kaguya's awesome, wait.
Shit.
I gotta defend everybody. So there's this part where, like, Obito's, he's remembering, like, or imagining what life would have been like if he didn't go fucking crazy.
Yeah. And
first of all, it's a bit presumptuous to think you're gonna be Hokage. Everyone thinks that. I think per capita Konoha has most, like, the most disappointed kids of any village. But also, the art of this thing is, like, I'm pretty sure Kishimoto just, like, took the images from the actual issues and just, like,
scaled them down?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like,
one's just a straight-up box.
Yeah, like, he just took the border off of it and shrunk it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, come on, Kishimoto.
I mean, they are doing a chapter every week. Sometimes they gotta cut corners.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we get a flashback to something that's already happened.
And nothing new happens in this flashback.
Well, it's just hammering home the point of when Rin healed Obito's hand and said that she's going to, like, be there watching him.
And then Obito's hand crumbles.
So what I thought was going to happen here, I'm looking at Kakashi, who does not have any Sharingan anymore.
Right.
And I'm looking at Obito, who is crumbling from the ground up and has two perfectly good Sharingan that would be helpful in a fight that are about to crumble.
Who's going to take it out, Sakura?
Yeah.
Sakura, just take out an eye. Just any eye. It doesn't matter. Just like either one. Like,
stab
I don't know what to do.
Stab me in the face. Just stab me. Come on.
I'm like, dead anyway.
Tick-tock. Come on. Just get him out.
I'm literally made of dried clay at this point. Just put the kunai there.
I kind of thought, because they keep cutting to Kakashi, which, for obvious reasons, with the Rin thing that gets brought up. But I thought that's where this was going.
So he repeats back Naruto's words, as everyone that dies in front of Naruto does.
And then Zetsu puts down Obito again. So that traitorous backstabbing worm finally died, eh?
Yes. I like how he slinked out of the sleeve and like made a head just to say that.
Yeah, he's got to get a good look.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey guys, remember how much Obito sucks? I do.
And then Naruto gets super pissed.
And screams that Obito was awesome.
And he's got Obito on his shoe, which is a weird panel.
Yeah.
And then he cuts off Kaguya's arm in a flash.
Yeah.
Yep.
With Zetsu in it.
Yeah. So they're separated now.
And then we get a little scene of Obito in ninja heaven.
Or ninja purgatory.
So how did Obito go to heaven?
I don't know. That's a good question.
He killed a lot of people.
He was sorry.
Deathbed repentance, wouldn't you?
I guess he did, on his deathbed, try to kill the true villain that was controlling him the whole time. So that sort of counts.
So I understand why Rin is a child, because that's when she died.
Right.
But why did Obito revert back to childhood?
That's when he died the first time.
Maybe that's like how you see yourself or something, or when you were... I don't know.
I mean, it's the afterlife. Who cares?
It'd be funny if Madara's there too. She's like, hey.
Just hanging out.
You know that split second before Kaguya killed me? Yeah, I apologized. So
they had this weirdly surreal conversation, like, Rin, I made a promise with you. And she's like, yeah, you tried your hardest, which no, he didn't.
No, he did not.
And she says, I've been watching always. And if you did, I feel like you'd have seen some other shit.
I mean, Obito literally found a jutsu that could bring people back from the dead and did not bring Rin back from the dead. So he did not try at all.
Yeah, like, okay, his life consists of everything we've seen up to the point where they were separated when he got crushed.
Right.
Then he got found by a teeming boy-hungry pedophile that brainwashed him for 20 years. And then in the last hour, he's saved Sasuke.
Yep. That's,
well, the vest saves Sasuke.
Do you think the vest is up here in Ninja Heaven?
Has its own little section.
Yeah.
Reserved for true heroes.
Yes.
Like Naruto's headband that one time it saved him.
Yeah.
They have... Obito's dead. He's Obito completely dead.
What do you guys think of Obito's death? Was it handled well?
The last page is fine.
Yeah, it's all right.
I think it's funny Neji did not get an afterlife thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Neji hasn't been important in a long time. So
just shows up to the afterlife and, like, no one's there. Yeah. Like, was I really the first person to die in this war?
Was I the only person to die in this war?
Man, I shouldn't have been so quick to do that.
They're like back at the HQ. It's like, okay, the death tolls are in one. Ah, that must just be an error. Mark it down to zero. Nobody died.
Noise.
So Obito's dead. Like, it feels more like Endgame now that it's down to just the principal character.
It's down to Team 7 and
Man,
soccer.
I don't know. I could still see it going for like another year. Never bet on it ending.
Super weird because, like, I feel like Naruto's at a place where it can gracefully end now. And if it doesn't, that's going to be really, really shitty.
I still think it could carry on perfectly fine.
Well, I don't think it can go another arc.
Okay, let me say two words to you. Space ninjas.
I mean, I could totally see that happening, because we still don't know why Kaguya wants the army of Zetsus.
She's King Piccolo. Naruto is going to punch her in the stomach, and an egg's going to fly out of her. And then, in the post-time skip, Naruto and Kaguya Jr. are going to be friends in a martial arts tournament.
You know what always weirded me out about that Piccolo Jr. thing is that they knew Piccolo Jr. was alive and that, you know, they needed to stop him. Why didn't they just send King Goku after him then? Instead of, like, training him for 7 years?
Where did Piccolo get training anyway?
I think he was just naturally strong Demon King.
Yeah.
Later in Z, he does say he does train, so he trains himself.
Yeah, just, you know, out in the woods.
Because he wears weighted clothing.
The only thing he didn't train in was dodging blasts.
Well, I mean, when is that ever going to come up?
Certainly not twice.
It's cool. He has these long, stretchy arms he can use to push people out of the way.
I always love the Dragon Ball Z Abridged thing of, oh man, I could totally dodge this. Yeah, this is taking forever. I should just move.
I kind of wonder if there's going to be one last sacrifice in Naruto.
Sakura.
I think it'd go either Sakura or Kakashi. I don't think it'll be Sakura.
It could never be Sakura.
Yeah, I can see Kakashi. But...
Kakashi's borderline suicidal at this point.
Yeah. I mean, the other two parts of his trio are dead. He could totally do it.
Parallels. I must die to complete the parallel.
He'll sacrifice himself to save Naruto or something.
Yeah. Or Sasuke.
Also, there's still that jutsu that apparently Hagoromo is still doing.
Yeah.
And needs chakra for.
Some kind of jutsu. I bet it's going to be to bring them back into their dimension.
Right before Naruto, finishes the final blow.
Or, they're going to kill her and then go, shit.
They'll kill her and then the dimension will be collapsing and then the jutsu will open up a portal or whatever.
Well, good thing we have Obito's eyes as everyone glares at Sakura.
You couldn't save him, you couldn't destroy him, you can't do anything.
Give me back your cute eyes, you've lost the privilege.
Turn in your vest. What? You lost it?
Those cost $40 so much. Each.
That's coming out of your paycheck.
All right. Let's move on to Ask Class.
Yes.
Ask Class.
We spent too long making fun of Naruto.
Yeah.
And that's ostensibly a manga that we all enjoy.
Yeah, that was a good chapter.
Yeah, that was a pretty good chapter. Just wait overall. Till we get to
Okay, Ask Class. They're training for the midterms.
Yep. Yes. They've got the Asano's big play out of their way, and now it just they have nothing to focus on but midterms the next couple of weeks.
And Koro-sensei has evolved his multi-form technique to where he is just, enveloping the room.
He's a wall of Koro-sensei's.
Yes.
Teaching everyone at once. And now it is October. There is 5 months left.
Yep. Until Koro-sensei destroys the world.
So they started with, 9 months?
Yeah, I think... No, I guess it was about 9 months, because it was the beginning of the school year.
I think it might have been 12 months. I don't remember. Anyway, we have 5 months left. And Karasuma is doing something on his computer.
He's trying to think of a way to increase the reward for the students. Or give them a reward, rather.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out what to do, and Arena says, oh, I'll take care of the award for the women. And Koro-sensei will take care of the award for the kids, or the other boys. So Karasuma will get present for Arena.
Yes, and I love her in the background.
Going, oh my.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And that's basically all she has to do during this entire chapter.
So the students are walking to school, or home from school or something.
Home from school, I think, yeah.
Yeah, talking about how kind of boring it is to be studying, and that they only have 5 months left to kill him.
So they figured that, they needed a regimen that, helps them... get to, train to kill Koro-sensei while still not disturbing their studies.
Yeah, they want to train on their own time, somehow.
Right, which makes sense, because I think that killing this thing that is going to destroy the world is a little more important than passing a test. But
they can't not study, because...
in Japan,
Crow-sensei will leave if they don't study.
Yeah, that's true.
So they'd design a parkour route from the top of the buildings to get to school.
Yeah, porno guy has been practicing on his walks home.
Further blurring the line between Assassin's Creed and Assassination Classroom.
Yes.
To confuse us more.
So I get up on this building and I jump down and spread my arms into a Jesus pose and fall into hay, and I'm perfectly fine.
In an totally eagle scream somewhere.
And then I just run up against this pole over and over and over again.
I see a ledge, but I just kind of bounce against the corner of this house and have to back up and go back forward a couple times.
Yeah.
So Kurosawa has told them explicitly, do not practice your parkour around or outside of the mountains.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. They're like, it's fine, whatever. We know better than Kurosawa.
They assume he meant dangerous for them, and they say they can handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's like a Naruto page where they're all running like ninjas across the rooftops.
It totally is a Naruto page, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it was tree branches and not a flat surface, it would be Naruto.
Students do things.
I think that one's even doing the Naruto pose of the hand between his legs.
Oh yeah, it totally is.
But yeah, they're totally parkouring and free running.
And everything's great. Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Nagisa is thinking about, hey, you know, with the Bodo-Ashi, we did really good and we're becoming stronger on our own. We can do anything.
Basically, they're patting themselves on the back a whole lot.
And then they kill an old man.
Well, they come up on an old man who falls over because these students are coming down the roof.
Yeah, they just jump down into an alleyway, assuming nobody's there.
Right.
And
that's how parkour works.
He falls over not because they hit him, but because he's surprised.
I have to imagine that was like, I don't know, a mandated change or something.
Yeah, because they're like falling on top of him.
Yeah, but then they go out of their way to mention later on that they did not touch him.
It's very much a I see their parasites, they're okay kind of thing. Yeah. Like they're very explicitly going out of the way to say they did not hit the guy at all.
So this old man saw them parkouring, and before they can kill him, a witness shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That was so long order.
Nagisa just like slides the knife back into his pants.
Ah, damn.
Thought it was my chance. So he has a fracture in his thigh bone that
the bike fell on him.
Yeah, which he got from like it falling over, right. And they have to like pay him off because the parkouring kids are a national secret.
Well, they're not supposed to know about these assassin kids.
Yeah, yeah. Which I mean, they could just easily lie to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
totally.
Bribery is so much better.
Yeah.
Right, and then
because then he won't suspect anything.
Then Nagisa senses something horrible coming towards them.
It's Black Kurosensei.
Not sunburned Black Kurosensei, but actual.
Angry by Kurosensei.
Really, really angry Kurosensei.
I'm pretty sure when we saw Kurosensei in like that weird form before in those flashbacks, he was black.
Maybe.
Yeah, could be.
So I wonder if that's like a hint or something.
He was angry at the time.
Yeah, not in control of his emotions or something.
So half the students start making excuses, and then half of them kind of cop to it being their fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Kurosensei just straight up pimp slaps him.
Like all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
At the same time.
That's a really awesome panel.
It's a pretty awesome panel.
It's a good thing they're all in like a perfect circle around him, so he can just spin and slap them all.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's sort of shocked by this, and Kurosawa's like, Kurosawa, are you going to report this as me injuring the students? It's like, I didn't see nothing.
I didn't see anything.
I'm just going to look over here for a while. You do what you need to do. Here's my gun.
Yeah.
So Kurosawa gives them like the disappointed dad speech of like, it was my fault for believing in you.
Yeah, and all the students are super browbeaten at this point. Like, they're so sad.
And the worst thing is, he says they're no different from the students in the main building.
Yeah, that's the thing that really hits them.
Yeah, which is pretty sobering. Is that they've all gotten so drunk on their own power. Which, I mean, that was you taught teenagers how to become super people.
Yeah.
What did
teaching
you think
teenagers
was gonna
happen? How to kill is probably not a particularly good idea.
There's a reason we don't let teenagers, like, drive or drink or own guns or rent cars.
Yeah, it's a good thing they weren't like, let's practice our knife skills in the city. We'll just walk around slashing in the air. Everyone will be
fine.
Yeah, well, you're walking to school looking at a book or something. Just sort of slash the air in front of you. It'll be fine.
Nagisa, are you sure you have your Koro-sensei knife? Yeah, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Nagisa, why are you running towards that bus full of elderly people?
It's cool, don't worry about it. I'll take this one. See you guys later.
I'm sure they'll get out of my way. Oh, he's running faster.
So Koro-sensei destroys the exam study book.
Yes.
And he forbids the entire class from studying for the exam for the remaining 2 weeks.
It's not a punishment. He's going to have them study something different.
And then he runs off, and it cuts to the old guy in the hospital is being watched by Karasuma's attendant, second in command, something.
Yeah, who is complaining about people apologizing to him. Like, he wanted a dogeza, which is where you get down your hands and knees and bow.
Right,
but they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Then he notices all of a sudden his room is filled with flowers.
And Koro-sensei is doing a dogeza.
Yep. Suddenly there was this weird octopus creature with a apology headband in front of him.
Like, not in disguise or anything.
Nope.
Yeah, screaming at him that he is the 10 billion bounty monster that has caused him troubles.
Yes.
So I'm guessing this is to convince him he's crazy or that no one's going to believe his story.
I don't know. I
think Koro-sensei is just really sorry and wasn't thinking about it.
This seems kind of like a big deal. This is the first outsider that is being brought into this. I don't know. It feels like Batman taking off his mask or something.
It'd be funny if he has a heart attack and dies.
That was his plan the whole time.
I fucked this up. Might as well blow up the moon.
Yep. Well, he could totally just turn the Earth back around and reverse time for a while.
Yeah. Well,
that's not how time works.
It's totally how it works. I saw a movie. It's a documentary. It's fine.
So do you guys... I think this old man's going to play a part in what he's trying to teach the kids.
Yeah, probably some part in their training, and he'll convince Karasuma to bring him in on the secret officially or whatever.
I mean, I just thought he might be used as a tool to help them learn a lesson.
I think it's just totally going to be no one's going to believe anything he says now. I saw a giant squid that visited me in the hospital and apologized.
Give me all these flowers. Yeah,
you did, old man. Look, we're going to send you home with your kids.
Oh, God, Grandpa. Well, off to the home for you.
This is actually kind of a weird ending, because, it feels discordant with the rest of the chapter. It did get pretty sobering at one point. Hey, you guys are pretty fucking up pretty hard here.
Feels kind of abrupt. There should be, one more page, or maybe two.
Yeah.
I think it's just supposed to be, a lighthearted way to end a sobering chapter of just, oh, God, funny thing, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
But, this is an interesting arc of them getting kind of full of themselves after kicking Class A's ass.
Yeah.
Because we were wondering, how do they... they can't beat Class A again. They've done it too many times. It doesn't make sense this time. And they did.
It would be boring to just do a repeat of the midterm arc from last time.
Yeah.
So
I think... I wonder if him not helping them study is so they get... a little more, or what's the word I'm looking for?
Humility.
Yeah, humility.
Humility. Oh yeah.
So they don't study, so they don't do as well. But so Koro-sensei teaches them you guys aren't perfect. You need people to be there for you, and you should listen to them.
You need also, teachers.
Yeah.
Don't jump on old men.
I mean, I didn't learn that lesson until I was 25. So
I still haven't learned it.
Yeah.
Neither have I.
You need teachers for that. All right.
On to the adventures of cat, dog, and fish, something. I don't know.
Mysteries. Sea mysteries.
Yeah.
Mystery.
Something is happening in the sea.
Because the town that the dog and the sea kitten are from has mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a slow start.
Yep.
It is. Well, these are always pretty slow.
Guys, I hope we don't hate Jinbei by the end of this.
How he got out of his bubble thing. It's huh.
Yeah, it's funny.
Oh yeah, I can breathe in here. Look.
This thing's completely pointless.
I like how why is the caption above just Dawn?
Because that's the sound effect that he always does.
Yeah, that's the sound effect.
Knock him out with a Dawn. Do you not remember Battle Stadium DON?
With a Dom.
I do remember that. That was not a good game.
Dom, the shipwright?
Yeah.
Did everything with a Don?
Vaguely.
Whenever you see a big sound effect of something being revealed, that is always Don behind it. It's Oda's favorite sound effect.
Yeah. So, Kinemon and guy whose name I've forgotten?
Kanjuro.
Yeah.
Kanjuro. Have drawn a bunch of ladders. Poorly drawn ladders. How do you mess up ladders?
They're like the worst ladders.
I mean, how hard is it to just draw lines? Straight
also,
lines.
Given the size of the people going up there, there are large gaps without any pegs going through them.
Yeah.
So these ladders will help them get up to out of there. And that's the end of that.
Yeah, Kanjuro is sick of people complaining about his ladders.
Yep.
They're fine ladders.
Perfectly good ladders.
So the dwarves in the Smile Factory are going crazy.
Right, full on revolt.
Running wild. They finally figure out a way to avoid their greatest weakness, which is their gullibility.
With earplugs.
Yes. They put in earplugs.
I love that it comes to that, not just them.
Yeah.
Not
well, it's still working because like they still explain, like, oh, the princess is going to stay sick if you guys do this. I'm like, oh, really?
What? No.
So they beat all the guys and were introduced to a new named dwarf named Mousy, who is the princess's aide.
Looks a lot like Gonfall.
Sure.
So he decides to... He goes to where they're supposedly keeping the princess and, like, storms through the door.
And it is, of course, just a storeroom.
Yep, nobody's in there.
It's like a closet.
So they head to the front door and try to open that up. But it's taking a bit more work. So outside the Smile Factory... Frankie is still fighting Senor Pink. Senor Pink. I always want to call him Senor Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says baby all the time.
Yeah. Senor Pink is just suplexing him all over the place.
Yeah.
And Frankie points out, like,
over and over again.
Frankie points out that inside the other side of the door, he's heard a, or in the back alley, he's heard a frail old lady that needs help.
And. That's not
Senor Pink just runs or swims off to handle it.
Well, he has to be, you know, chivalrous.
I do like this idea that Frankie has just been getting suplexed for like the last half hour.
Yeah.
And he's kind of bored with it now.
Mm-hmm. He's sick of it.
So on the other side of the door with the dwarves is a lady named
Kewin. Kewin.
Which is the sound effect of a vacuum.
Ah, makes sense. She's confronted the dwarves and she's going to suck them all up in her vacuum.
Yeah. She's a large woman that they know is 20 years old.
Yeah. So she starts sucking them up and then Frankie opens the door and says, good job, guys.
Because they unlocked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everyone is psyched at seeing Frankie, who looks really cool.
Yes, because of course they are.
And Frankie decides to just, like, go up and hug Kewin. Just give her a nice big hug.
Yes.
Yep.
So as soon as Senior Pink starts rushing back, realizing that there's no frail lady in trouble, and swimming through the ground to get to Frankie, he front suplexes Kewin into Senior Pink.
I guess
and fishing their head together.
I guess that is a
suplex. Yeah.
It's a belly-to-belly suplex. There's a name for it, but I forgot what it is.
Anyway, it cracks Kewin and Pink's heads together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're sort of laid out. And Kewin's freaking out and screaming at Frankie that she's going to destroy him and that he'll
be torn to pieces and.
Blah, blah, blah.
So Frankie goes up and just plants one on her.
Just kisses her.
It seems like he doesn't kiss her mouth to mouth. He just, like, pushes his cheek up to her mouth. Like, the way his hair is pointing and the way he comes off of it.
Could be.
I don't know. It's hard to say.
But then she falls for Frankie because of that.
Well, yeah. He says, just kissed my lips.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But she becomes Tsundere and says that he needs to take responsibility.
Yeah, become her boyfriend. And Frankie says he does that because he's a heartbreaker, and that's what a man does.
Yeah.
Senior Pink adds, yeah, how else would you get a woman to shut up? Which
and everyone loves this.
Yeah, yes. That's not a terrible thing to say at all.
Yeah.
No, certainly not.
So they resume their fight as men.
Yeah, as heartbreakers.
The fight between serious men, and they use the diaper bomb and the nipple light special.
That was
most
that
serious
was
and manly up. Fight ever.
So was Frankie just holding back the entire time because the door wasn't open?
Maybe. I think, guess. Yeah, he was waiting to figure out a way to open the door. Just getting suplexed over and over again.
Yeah. Does Disney have a line? Oh, yeah, it was after he went in. What, are you trying to strike oil with my head? So
it cuts to Pika and Zoro. And by Pika's establishment dialogue, Rebecca and them have already escaped from the top of Pika's head.
Yeah. I mean, like, presumably they just have to jump off, like...
Yeah.
They just had to land and jump off right away. So.
Except he was trying to punch them out of the air, and it did not work because Zoro slashed his arm off.
Yep.
Yeah. And then that's all we see of that. It cuts away.
Yep.
It cuts away from that a little too quickly, I think.
Yeah, I want to see more of that fight. But
I don't know.
We'll
it doesn't seem like it's an interesting fight. Like, Pika's just teleporting around, and Zoro's killing all of his clones.
Yeah, Zoro can cut stone, so it's not really...
I can't remember the last time One Piece did have, like, an interesting fight.
I don't know.
They're all over.
I mean, they're all pretty much like, for a long time, they've been pretty much just gimmick fights.
Fights are not Oda's strong point, I don't think.
Yeah.
He's done a couple of good ones. Like, the Crocodile and Luffy one was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the end of the arc fights are always amazing. Like, Luffy versus Lucci, Luffy versus Crocodile, Luffy versus Enel. But
pretty much everyone else just gets gimmick fights for the most part.
Well, but even Luffy's been getting just gimmick fights since then.
But this time he's going after Doflamingo. That's not going to be a gimmick fight, I don't think.
Yeah, hopefully. That'd be good.
It seems like the side people get more character moments instead of fights.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, Bartolomeo is about to drop his things because he's, like, orgasming.
Fanboying out so much over meeting Zoro. Zoro-senpai.
Zoro-senpai noticed him.
Yes.
And then, what was his name? Galileo?
Leo.
Leo, that was it.
Leo, yeah.
He gets a Denmushi call from Moosey.
Mousy.
And that the princess is inside the factory, and so there's, like, she must be somewhere else, and they were all tricked.
I do like that the princess's name we thought was Moncherie, but it's in English as Mancherry. Like, it's actually written in English on the walls like that, so that's the way it wants it.
I guess.
So Usopp's freaking out because everyone's coming up and trying to get him and King Riku because they're the biggest bounties.
Yeah, apparently Usopp has come too.
Yes. Yeah. He is woken up and realized what is happening, so.
Well, he's in danger.
Yeah.
That's of course when he'd wake up.
He is in the most danger. The maximum amount of possible danger.
So Riku tells Viola to use her ability to find Moncherry.
And is she finding out, or is it just cutting to that?
I think we're finding out.
Okay. Yeah. She's just in some room.
Riku explains that Doflamingo wouldn't kill her because they need her power.
Which is
stuff like a loaf of bread into a jail cell.
I love how it is
just like some random room and there's like a mop right there. So it's just in a hallway somewhere.
So
and she's begging for Leo to save her.
Yeah, he's the hero of the dwarves.
Yeah.
Fairies, whatever. And that's that chapter.
Yep. I feel like that was a little too all over the place.
Yeah, it's
kind of been like that lately, I feel like.
I think there's I was telling you
more chapters focusing in.
It feels like every week I'm like, that one was set up, but next week will be where a lot of the stuff pays off.
Yeah.
Like, Kanjuro and Kinemon got a page, and I don't think they really necessarily needed even that.
Like, Robin got a panel, and Usopp got a panel, and...
Like, is this even, like, the entire crew?
Yeah.
It was still funny and good, but... Yeah. I don't know, it's just, like, overload or something.
I think moment to moment, it's fine. It's just I'm leaving every chapter not feeling satisfied by anything they've done yet.
Yeah, like this will be great when you're reading it back again, is the sort of thing. But it's really annoying week to week.
Like, if it had just been the Tonto Revolt and Frankie. That would have been a good chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Like, expand that stuff out a little bit.
Like, what was the point of the Zoro and Pika part?
To say that they moved on, and then he shows us they moved on in the next page.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's just kind of gotten into this mode where we keep checking in on everyone, but it doesn't feel like there's a lot of forward progress at any one time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of annoying. But at least I guess everyone isn't just running down a corridor every week. So we can't complain too much.
I guess that's the thing that is starting to bother me, is that there is forward progress, but it's always like off screen. We always just like check in with them and some stuff has happened, and then we run away from them to check in next time when some stuff has happened.
Like, we don't see them escape from Pika's head. We see them talking about how they escaped from Pika's head.
And then it leaves them.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. Yeah. We'll see next week.
Yeah. Yep.
When it does the same thing again, and we're like, yeah, why didn't it do it this time?
Oh, no, it's a double issue, which means there'll be a break the week after, and that's when One Piece always gets good, is right before breaks.
So are we going to start the Law flashback again next week, do you think?
I hope so. I hope it ends with, like, let me tell you this story, and then the next chapter is just not mentioned at all. It just, like, picks up with Frankie again or something.
It ends with a page of, like, Law, like, just strapped to the gills and bayonets. But yeah, I want to destroy everybody. What did that mean, Law?
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Untie me, damn it.
I hope we never get to this flashback.
Okay, Bleach.
Okay. We're talking about the Bleach cover first.
Because
apparently there's a new Yu-Gi-Oh card that's part of this cover.
What?
Like the actual Jump cover.
What?
And two, there's a live-action Nisekoi thing in the top right corner.
Oh, yes.
It's the creepiest fucking thing.
It seems like it's a photo shoot, but yeah. Those girls' eyes are way too dilated or something.
Yeah, that's pretty unsettling, I gotta say.
It looks like people who were, like, captured and forced to dress up as Chitoge and Ordera. Yeah.
Like, are you picturing just, like, a bloody mattress in the corner that we're not seeing?
Yeah, and they were drugged. Like, okay, put these in your eyelids. It's fine.
Yeah, glue your eyelids open so it looks like you have Western eyes.
Let's also talk about the color image.
Okay.
Orihime's outfit is still incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
Still pretty bad.
Especially the fact that they lampshaded it doesn't make it better.
Yep.
Yeah. She's got like the arms look like they're from a gown, and the bottom of it's from a gown, and then she's just wearing like a boob vest.
Yep.
Like she's, they like, just removed
rolled up cuffs for some reason and a collar.
Really weird.
So this,
like, why does she have those big puffy sleeves? I don't get it.
Because.
Or shoulder pad things.
Maybe that's fashionable in Hueco Mundo.
Where they were for a long period of time.
Yeah, we still don't know what they, like, did there. Although there are some clues this chapter.
So, emerging from the countless battles, the 13 warriors. I guess that's 13 characters.
Sure.
Sure.
I don't think that Chad and Orihime have been in, like, countless battles. And I wouldn't say Kenpachi. There we go. Zaraki
Kenpachi?
Yes. I'm apparently dyslexic when discussing Bleach. But Zaraki, I don't think Kenpachi. He's really emerged. He just kind of, like, got laid out, and then nobody acknowledged him at all.
Yeah, everyone just sort of ignored him, because he was, laying down, sleeping.
Someone help.
People are probably just, like, stepping on him at this point.
Yeah.
I need medical attention.
He got blown up in the background of the last fight, but everyone's just, you know, whatever. He's buried under rubble right now.
So, Ikkaku and Yumichika react to these hollows. I'd forgotten that they both fought two of these guys that are here.
Yeah, I totally don't remember any of these people, so I'm glad you guys talked about that last week.
So, I remember reading this, that Loopy's thing was, like, when he released, he got, like, 8 arms or something like that.
Was he the guy with the tentacles and stuff?
Yeah, because he had, like, dangly sleeves, and he just got more dangly sleeves.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But I don't remember the other people. Well, there was that mustache guy. I kind of remember him.
He fought Ichigo. He was, like, the main one of those guys.
Yeah.
There's a third one of those three that they're leaving out, the one that fought Chad.
Yeah, that's what I thought. There were 4 of them, right? Yeah.
I believe that... Let's see.
Because didn't Renji fight one of them, too?
I thought Renji got right to a numbered person like Rukia did.
No. I don't think so.
I guess one of them fought Ishida, because they referenced the Four Eyes Quincy?
Yeah, that's the girl. She fought Ishida. Mustache fought Ichigo, and then there was Chad and Renji fought ones that aren't there, I guess.
Yeah, I think they fought the one that's not there.
So anyway, they kind of banter.
While they're bantering, Kurosuchi just hits a button that stimulates pain centers in their brain.
Yeah. Electrocutes all of them.
It's a punishment button.
Which is a pretty funny panel.
I love his expression.
That's a gag.
I love that, what's his name, like Dondori, the mustache guy is still doing like his dynamic pose while getting electrocuted.
Yeah.
So they stop talking eventually, and they talk about how he raided Zalaporo.
Zalaporo.
Sure. Which I guess is significant to somebody somewhere.
He was the pink-haired dude. Oh, did you not read this one?
He's the pink-haired Arrancar scientist that Orochi fought before. Yeah, we talked about this before. That's the fight that lasted like almost an entire year.
Just wasn't sure if Imran read it.
Like from Nell transforming to this arc.
So
I have not read it either.
Zalaporo was basically the hollow version of Kurotsuchi.
Yeah.
Like he was their crazy scientist that did weird stuff.
Yeah. And they fought him forever. And he had a lot of minions and it was terrible for the most part.
So Zombie Girl breaks it down by saying, like, okay, I get it, you have zombies too. That was 12 pages of this manga devoted.
Well, then the fighting starts, and surprise, surprise, the characters with names and designs beat the characters without names or designs.
Ikaku and Yukishita are kind of mad that these, like, squad 11 zombies are just being cut down, even though they're already dead. Like,
yeah. They're already dead. And Kuroshi's just like, what's the big deal?
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
So they're all defeated. The Shinigami all lose.
Yeah.
And then she pulls in Bambi-chan. And like, she loses pretty handily.
To the pretty guy.
Yeah.
Yep. He makes a giant heart-shaped Sero beam. Yeah, I don't remember that guy at all.
Yeah, his release was that he was small. I think Yumichika beat him pretty easily. I think he was one of the fodder ones. But his release is he gets like a tutu made of bone. Like, he looks really girly.
Oh, okay.
Well, now he beats somebody that bodied Ikaku and Yumichika.
With, like, one hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess Kurotsuchi made him stronger somehow.
God, it really looks like he's doing a Care Bear stare.
So, Zombie Girl pulls out her trump card.
Which is...
It's Itsugaya!
Who died at some point, apparently.
So, apparently?
Before anything else, I want to point out that for some reason she changed Hitsugaya's clothes.
You?
Yeah. She put him in one of those Nazi outfits.
She put her in an SS uniform.
Yeah.
So, Hitsugaya died off-panel, I guess.
So, I looked it up. His last appearance was post Kangdu, after Kangdu peaced out.
When he was crawling toward Matsumoto, wasn't it?
Well, he was talking about finding Matsumoto, and then he collapsed, and I thought he just passed out. But
that's what I assumed, too.
Well, yeah, I assumed that, too, because, like, everyone was dying, but none of them were actually dead in that part.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, they all went and had special training and all that sort of stuff.
So, yeah, he froze Kangdu, like, literally froze him. And then he was fine.
Yeah.
But Kangdu apparently lost that fight, according to Juhabach.
Even though it's a guy, maybe that's Juhabach's scam, is he just kills both people and gets all the powers.
Yeah, I guess. So, yeah, Hitsugaya died, apparently, and now is back as a zombie.
What an unceremonious way to kill, like, your most popular character.
He is super popular.
That's what I kind of want to, like, give Kubo kudos for, is that, like, that's ballsy to, like, he's number two or something in the character.
But, like,
I feel like he was above Ichigo in some of the polls. Yeah.
Yeah.
He died, but no one knows. No one knew he died.
That's the shocking, tragic reveal.
Got his own movie that was all about him instead of Ichigo.
Like, Kubo Tite thought that we all understood that Hitsugaya died there.
I don't think so, because, like, the Hitsugaya has two exclamation points and a question mark.
But that he's a zombie, not that he's dead.
Yeah.
Well, but him,
because I went back and looked it up, and like right after he died, Kurosuchi pointed out that I just lost the Reiatsu of a captain and a vice captain.
Ah,
huh.
So that, like, clearly he did I guess, die there.
It is an unceremonious death for such a popular character to just, like, fall over when nobody's around. And
yeah. And, like, lose to, like, the very first fight in, like, the rank and file of Juhabok's army.
Yeah, so here's the thing, though. Crazy. I bet you Kurotsuchi fixes him.
Yeah, almost certainly.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, that's 100%. Obviously what's going to happen. I mean, come on.
They need to sell more toys.
Yeah.
But at least we get him fighting people, which is going to be pretty cool, I got to say.
Yeah, should be good.
So also, I looked up the thing I was talking about last week where I thought that Kurotsuchi was working on Tosen.
Yeah.
And I showed you the page. Yeah. And he was saying, like, Kaname.
No, he was saying Kanane.
Kanane?
Yeah, it was a different character. I found a forum topic from that time period on the Bleach fan site, and it was a bunch of people arguing about who he was working on. Like, most people went with Kaname because of the similarities in the names. Other people were going with just, like, any random character that died.
Like, the closest we could find was, like, a filler character from the anime that was, like, a little kid.
Yeah.
Totally him.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like he has one more zombie thing up his sleeve, and that's who he's going to bring out to fight Hitsugaya.
But Tosen and Hitsugaya don't really have any history.
No.
I mean,
Tosen had history with the commander and the wolf guy.
They were
Komamura.
They
were friends. But yeah, he doesn't really have.
Pretty sure Komamura's dead at this point.
Is he? Can you tell anymore?
His heart was torn out, but this is Bleach, so he might be fine.
But then again, somebody can just, like, die, like by collapsing, and that's it.
And I mean, Orihime is back now, so all bets are off.
I would like to point out again, ghost zombie, or zombie ghost.
Zombie ghosts.
Yeah, that's still kind of weird.
Zombie ghosts.
By using their ghost blood.
Go away from this place, zombie ghosts.
Special ghost blood.
So who do you think fights Hitsugaya? Is it Kurotsuchi, or does, like, Momo show up so it's, like, thematically appropriate or
something? I think... Pretty
great. No, it's going to be another Arrancar.
Okay,
it's
here's
going to be, like... It'll be a Yami.
It would actually be a really good and interesting twist if Kurotsuchi has, like, zombified Rangiku. Think about it. It would actually be a surprisingly good fight.
God, she would have, like, X-shaped stitches across her boobs when she...
Oh, God. Totally. No, it's going to be another Arrancar, I think.
I just want to see Momo try to fight Hitsugaya and just get smacked away.
Get stabbed again.
He could bring in Gin. That guy fucked off. I mean, he died, but he fucked off.
God, I'm so disappointed with how that whole thing with him turned out.
Disappointed in something Bleach revealed?
I don't know. I liked the heel turn that he had.
It was all right, I guess.
By heel turn, do you mean like heel turn, then heel back? Like, turn on a heel?
Yeah. I mean, he literally danced. He moonwalked.
Yeah. I don't know.
So, I think he is going to bring out someone to fight Hitsugaya, though.
I was legitimately shocked at the end of this chapter.
Well, I was shocked because I didn't realize Hitsugaya was dead.
Yeah, that's the shocking part. Even like, still, it's a legitimate surprise from Bleach.
True.
Yeah, it's kind of impressive, really.
I will be shocked if Kurotsuchi does not fix him, though.
Oh, yeah, that's, I think Kurotsuchi fixes Hitsugaya and he just, like, instantly freezes Zombie Girl and cuts her in half or shatters her into a million pieces.
Yeah, and that's how they stop the problem of her blood and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, one bit of house cleaning I forgot. There is a new Beelzebub chapter out.
Oh, yeah.
It released a few hours ago. Like earlier today, so I don't want to just. It has such an irregular release, I don't want to just cover it right away.
Yeah, and it seems like this one's going to be multi-part, so we could, like, do it all at once, maybe.
We'll do it next week. We had the full roster this week. I just made the decision on my.
Oh, yeah, and there's also a new Naruto spinoff.
Oh, about Sasuke. No.
About Sasuke.
Sasuke's
the same artist and author, probably, of Rock Lee's Springtime of Youth.
Well, I'm sure we'll treat it with the same relevance we treat Rock Lee.
I mean, I'm sure where's he going to find the time? I'm sure Rock Lee just takes him all of his free time to draw that and write
the weirdly popular Rock Lee Springtime of Youth.
Yeah. Isn't there an anime of that, even?
Yes. Yes, there's an anime of it for some reason.
That's crazy.
I want my Dragon Ball SD anime. Just for how stupid that idea is.
Wasn't Dragon Ball SD pretty bad, though?
Yes, it was terrible. It was the worst.
Didn't it get canceled?
Yes. A Dragon Ball manga got canceled. Think
Man,
about it.
That's been really bad.
It was basically like really bad Dragon Ball abridged that wasn't funny. And kind of looked crappy.
All right. I guess that's it for Bleach.
Yeah. And usually we talk about Bleach first, but it's weird to end the podcast on Bleach. It's been a while.
Yeah. I'm all discombobulated because of it.
Yeah.
You just want to go like, so on to... Oh, we did miss a Nisekoi chapter, actually.
No, we didn't.
No,
yes, we did. That two-page chapter.
Oh, yeah. So there was a Yui joke.
Yeah, there was a Yui.
She united the Chinese mafia by crying.
Not through, like, any intellect or being smart or being something. She just womaned at them.
Yeah, she was adorable, she just, so.
Yeah.
Also, that thing that she carries around is named E.
Yeah.
And EA is apparently kind of old.
I'm sure it has existed before the beginning of time and will exist long after Earth is like.
It knows what Raku is and is the only one that can kill
about
it.
Raku.
All right. So I will be gone for the next 2 weeks, and then Mike will take over hosting duties.
Maybe we'll see what happens.
So if Jumpcast is late or anything, it's because we're still doing. Like he has to send the file to me, and I have to update it.
I have to edit a podcast, which I do about 2 times a year.
Yep.
Right, so it'll probably be terrible next week.
Oh,
yeah.
Just
don't listen. It's
just
fine.
Just skip it.
Yeah.
God, I hope we don't have, like, a marked decrease in our downloads.
Why did only 9 people listen this week? All right. This has been your Friday, August 1st Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Yep.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
An alarming number of characters died that I did not realize died in Bleach.